Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about a touch of football can get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new edition. Welcome, Ravens Nation. It's The Call. It's your favorite Ravens podcast. We're here to talk all things Baltimore sports because we can't leave out those Orioles anymore, man. They're a part of it. They're a big time in the postseason right now. We're taking time out of our day instead of watching the Orioles to talk Ravens football for you guys. So Skyping in with me, of course, we've got my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, buddy. Not much, man. Just enjoying the moment. How are you, bud?
I'm good, man. We got hopefully more than just one game left of an O's postseason. Big one coming up against the Yankees. It's win or go home pretty much. So, we got a lot to worry about there. And we've got Ravens coming up this weekend. So, you actually got to go to the O's playoff games, right?
Oh, my God, Brandon. Put aside Ravens talk for a couple minutes. I'm telling you what. I went Monday night. It was probably the best experience I've ever felt in my life, one of the best experiences I've ever felt, apart from the Ravens Super Bowl, some 11 years ago. And, who would never thought that, Mr. Raven myself would have been to an Orioles playoff game in person before a Ravens playoff game in person, but that's due to the cheapness of the tickets, if I would say. I mean, the Houston Texans ticket last year for the division was like $260 cheapest ticket.
Jeez.
That kind of, makes or breaks it for you. So, and you can only imagine what Super Bowl tickets would run. I've always said I would mortgage the house and sell the car for a Super Bowl ticket, but who knows. And besides that, I shared the experience with my dad and a couple buddies of mine, and it was electric seeing 47,000 Baltimore fans waving white towels. My God, I got video of the about a 30-second video of the whole thing right before the first pitch, and it was electric. They were chanting the Seven Nation Army chant. It was like you can even hear me on the video saying, wow, this is incredible, and it was. I was like, wow, look at this. I just couldn't stop looking at the crowd. Like, every time the fans would get up and wave the rags, it was just, my buddy made fun of Steeler fans during the game. He put his rally tie down, and I said, what are you doing? He says, I feel like a freaking Steeler fan. So it was kind of funny. I said he invented a stupid towel whipping, but it was fun. We had right behind the bullpen. We heckled the pitchers there, and my buddy was saying some funny things. And hey, we got to see a win, and let's see what they can do this weekend.
Yeah, I did hear a lot of people were kind of ticked off that the Orioles were handing out towels and kind of saying, Baltimore, you're better than that. What are you doing? Put those towels away. But, man, as Baltimoreans, you're kind of used to seeing the yard crowded during a Yankees game, and it's usually filled with Yankee fans. But I love seeing the yard packed like that, but the fact that it was orange – and it was the hometown coming out to support the O's. That made me feel even better, and I'm so happy that they're in the postseason. Honestly, everybody wants the O's to go all the way. I want the O's to go all the way, but just the fact that we even had a postseason game in Baltimore makes me just a happy baseball fan. So thank you to the O's, no matter what happens, for this amazing season.
That's right, absolutely. Thank you, Baltimore Orioles. And it correlated to Sunday, and getting revved up for a 1 o'clock Ravens game, and then, got to enjoy a playoff baseball game later that night, and what a baseball game it was. And, to dissect the Ravens game at 1 o'clock, I was pumped up to see this game. We kind of knew going in, how the matchup was going to be in another road game. We know how we planned the road. Last time we went in Arrowhead, 2010, we stomped them in the playoffs. Breaking down a game, going from beginning to end, I was kind of agitated. As you've seen the flow of the game, it was back and forth, sloppiness, turnovers. It was, I don't know about you, but would you say the Ravens had too much rest maybe?
Maybe they got rust really quick. This was a weird game. This was a game decided by kicks. I couldn't get over that. I couldn't believe it. Even as a football fan, I even got to say this game was a tad bit boring just as a viewer. But I don't know what these guys are doing. It seemed like they were still on vacation.
It seemed like they were on vacation. It seems like they were still on the beaches of Miami or wherever they spent the last 4 days before the week started resting. But all in all, not that the players made excuses, But some of them did say, hey, you know, Anquan Boldin even said, hey, maybe we got a little bit lax, you know, a bit longer spoiled with the rest there. But, you know, there's no excuses. And here's the thing. I said this during the Cleveland podcast, and I'm going to say it again today. It's the NFL. It's any given Monday, Sunday, Thursday, however you spin it, any day of the week. Two teams line up. They're all professionals. They all get paid. They all get their high millions of dollar paychecks. And let me tell you, you know, it was a hard-fought battle. It took a couple, I wouldn't say lucky plays, but Matt Cassel fumbled the ball there on the goal line and re-picking up. And that was kind of, I wouldn't say gimme, but hey, you know, they helped us out. We helped them out. And all in all, we had one field goal better. And as the, you know, as the game went on, Brandon, I'm going to, you know, revert back to the year 2000, Super Bowl year. We went 21 quarters without a touchdown. And this kind of reminded me, it was a, hey, in the NFL, you can always not rely on touchdowns. The kicker is more important than anything as well, especially when it comes down to these. We all know in the championship game, kickers mean a lot. And they won the Patriots 3 Super Bowls for that matter. You know, and defense showed up. You know, they made adjustments. If you've seen the ebb and flow the first half, Jamaal Charles was slicing and dicing this team's left and right, 125 rushing yards. And what happened in the second half, he had 15. What an adjustment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is it makes you kind of wonder, this type of game where it was all decided on kicks, really, what would this game have been like if Billy Cundiff was still a Raven? Now, we all know what happened to Billy Cundiff. He got let go by the Redskins earlier this week, which I don't really think that – are you shocked at that, really?
Yeah, I'm not surprised that Billy Cundiff let go. It's just kind of a shame, you know, because Harbaugh believed in him, and this is why reason brought back and had Tucker compete for the job. Because he believed in him, and it wasn't down because he missed the field goal. But you know what? You got to make kicks, and two out of his last six is a – and if it wasn't for that game-winning one, he would have been fired that day. And, you know, you don't want to see anybody lose jobs. You don't want to laugh at this situation. I just – me and you know, all is Baltimore. We smirk, go, ha-ha. You know, we had the last laugh because of what happened. But I'm not going to wish anybody unemployment, and I'm not going to wish anybody being jobless. But – you know, it was coming to you. You got to make kicks, and if you're going to miss kicks, you're not going to have a starting job in the NFL. Same thing. You know, if Flacco's going to throw six interceptions a game and no touchdowns, he's, you know, Tyrod Taylor would overtake him if Tyrod played better. So it correlates that no one's job is safe, and that's just why we have training camps to push the players, and it showed. And what Tucker maybe missed, what, one field goal all season? Correct me if I'm wrong, and he's even got a game winner against New England, just barely, due to a bad snap, but we know it went through. So it's working out for us so far, and I believe in a young kid, and, you know, she, you know, hopefully we can have the second Matt Stover on our team.
You know, this was just a very strange game. It did not feel like I was watching a Ravens game. There were so many fumbles on both sides, and Matt Cassel, I mean, you gotta feel bad for that guy. I mean, yeah, he's not playing to, you know, the hopes and dreams that the Chiefs would want him to, but you gotta feel bad for the fact that he got hurt, and some fans, not all of them, but some fans actually cheered when he got taken off the field, which I never like to see. I mean, that's kind of down and dirty, and that's a little bit nasty. You know, our defense, like you did say, their defense was on the ball, and they knew what they were doing. It looks like they didn't take as much vacation time as the offense did.
No, they didn't take much time. And reverting back to what you said, I want to reiterate what you just said about Matt Cassel being hurt. It's never good to see that. I know, you know, hate to be part of the fan base that did this, but, you know, we did that at Kyle Bowler as a fan base. We did that when Kyle Bowler got hurt in 2005. And against the Colts, I think it was on a Sunday night game. And it was just unfortunate to see that. You know, you never want to wish somebody ill will. You know, want to say, oh, I wish he gets hurt. I mean, we wish that on the Steelers, but not, you know, that's another thing. But we don't wish that, especially on your own players. I mean, you know, there's one thing if they're playing very sucky and very, and you're getting frustrated about that. But, you know, let that play out. You know, eventually, as it shows with Billy Cundiff being let go, eventually it's going to rear its ugly head and they're going to get let go or someone's going to overtake them. But you never, ever would just – I would just boo that. I'm not going to boo, you know – I mean, obviously, Billy Cundiff was star kicker. I'm not going to boo him every time he tried to do a kick if he was our kicker still. You have to respect that. You have to trust the coaching staff for putting them in that position. They picked the 53-man roster at the end of this, at the training camp, and you have to trust these guys. And I'm kind of glad that Lyman lashed out at the fans in Kansas City because I'm telling you what – I was upset to hear that. I mean, you know, but, you know, not to make fun of it, but what are you going to do when Paul Kruger and Haloti Ngata are coming at you? I mean, you're going to get so it's a man's game. Like old Ray Lewis says, it's the NFL and there are injuries and you can't protect these players. And even with the rules and all this stuff, and I'm telling you what, and then with Brian Cushing going down on the Monday night game, that's a huge, huge blow for the Houston Texans, talking about the injury report through the NFL, and correlating that's a magnified injury coming in 2 weeks when we play the Texans. Actually, next week, apologize, I'm getting ahead of myself there. I'm still going back on the Chiefs, still in that time mentality, but you know, if you look at it, you know, you never want to wish people hurt. I mean, I know the Steelers have key injuries going into a Thursday night football game, you know, with Palomalu being out and Harrison and I think James Ferrier's banged up. You know, like I said, apart from the Steelers, we all know how we feel about them. You know, we wish the whole team ill sometimes when they're playing us. But, you know, Brandon, I know you can probably share that with me as well. You never want to see that, and that was disheartening.
Yeah, you never want to see that. And I understand if people aren't playing well, boo them or whatever like that. But come on, if somebody's hurt, that's going to affect their career. It's going to affect their personal life. It's going to do everything. And, you know, that's how these guys make their money. And it's never, ever good to hear that somebody's hurt and then that people are cheering that they get hurt. I don't like that. That's one of the worst things you can really do in sports is if you cheer. I don't even care if it's for or against. You just don't do that, because don't cheer when somebody's hurt. It's okay to boo them when they do something stupid or something like that, but come on. I mean, honestly, let's just don't do that.
But it is okay to break Big Ben's nose and break his ankles. That is okay.
Right. Well, he kept playing, so...
I don't know what is up with that dude, and I, you know, not to get on that tangent. I know we're still a month and a half away from Steeler Hate Week number one. I'm chomping the bit to get to this game, but you know, yeah, I mean, he's tough as nails. We all know, but you're right. You know, when it comes to a certain matchup, you know, we don't want certain people out there. But it always goes back to, I'd rather be in with them in there. It makes it that much sweeter. But hey, I as a fan and as the biggest rivalry in sports, I like to get any competitive edge. And when you don't have the stars in there, it helps out tremendously.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what's coming up. Before we talk about the actual Cowboys game, WNST reported earlier today that Haloti Ngata, he is a part of the injury report where he's kind of doing limited stuff in practice because of something is going on with his shoulder. So we'll see what happens if he plays this weekend or not, but it looks like in practice at least they're limiting Haloti to actually what he's participating in.
Yeah, I heard whispers about that, and it's very hush-hush. As you know, the Ravens play it close to the chest, and I'm kind of looking forward to see how this plays out coming on the news report on Friday, the final report. I really didn't see anything in the game to dictate that he was actually hurt seriously. I was actually unaware of it, Brandon, until, you know, at the same time around when that news broke. And, you know, I know WNST is a viable source, and they follow the team as close as we do. And, you know, I'm not too concerned. I'm going to monitor this. And if anything breaks, you will see a tweet or two about that. But again, Brandon, I don't have no concern for Ngata. I know, speaking of injury reports on our own and about Suggs, news broke, I think it was that time frame right before the game where right after the game I saw a text message that ESPN reported that Suggs was due back as early as next week against Houston or as late against after the bye week against Cleveland Browns. And I was kind of shocked at that, you know, hearing that news came out. And obviously Harbaugh and the coaching staff are going to refute that, saying they don't know when. But, you know, being a fan, and they showed him on the Jumbotron. I've been to the last three home games. He was jumping up and down the sidelines, and I've heard reports that he's having great progress. So, hey, if we can have the reigning defensive player knee on the field back in the next month, that would be great. I honestly felt like, again, with our predictions going back, I think he'll be back for the second Steeler game in December. I would think it's early, but, hey, if he proves us all wrong, then great. I would be more than tickled to death to see him on the field again, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And besides just healing from that surgery, you got to also factor in the account that he's got to get back into like physical shape of being able to play football and being able to play the way that Suggs does. So it's always good to keep that in the back of your mind as well. Just, it's not just the injury, it's getting back from the injury and training again to become a full-time football player. So hopefully he has. I think he's been training, you know, as much as he can whenever he can. But I think he's still listening to the doctors and what they're saying. So I'm hoping that we will see Suggs back sooner rather than later. But he's definitely not going to be back for this Cowboys game. This is going to be a big test for the Ravens. Last time these guys went up against each other, they embarrassed the Cowboys and they shut down the old Cowboys Stadium. And this was supposed to be this big triumphant game, and it was supposed to be like their last one in their home place until they go to this nice big magnificent one. And the Ravens came in, spoiled all of their festivities, and just completely spanked the Cowboys, pretty much. And so I'm wondering if the Cowboys have something, they're going to be fighting for.
That was an incredible game. Right back again, Brandon, to 2008. What a game that was on that Saturday night edition of Thursday Night Football back in the NFL. And wow, what a game. It was back and forth, and we busted the two long runs with McClain and McGahee. And I just remember Deion Sanders just going, wow, like, did that just happen? And I'm telling you what, that was probably that's probably one of my favorite highlights to watch over again. And, Ravens.com, gave us a taste of that when we actually got to, watch that game again and the highlights. And I was getting pumped up. And speaking of the Cowboys and the theme, I don't know if the NFL thought about this, but how do you like the Cowboys and Indians theme in these last 3 weeks? I mean, we had the Chiefs, now we got the Cowboys, and we got the Texans. So I think that this is going to be the How the West Was Won kind of theme. What do you think?
Yeah, maybe this will be more like the Wild Wild West, just with not as many mechanical spiders.
Well, that and let's score some touchdowns, because last week was kind of wild in itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Getting back to the task at hand about the Cowboys, yeah, you're right. We closed it out in dramatic fashion, and we look to do the same, except let's bring it on our home turf, and we're not closing anything out, but let's close out another win and remain at 5-1. Hopefully we can pull our record to there. We got the home field advantage again. We're one of the best records, if not the best record at home in the NFL in the last handful of years here. Yeah, we've won, I think going back to last year, I think, 11 straight home games at least. And then I have to go back on that to actually research my numbers here. And I know at least last year we swept at home 8-0, and we won the first three here. So we're 11-0 at home. I'm telling you what, the bank, it's hard to play. We voted best stadium in the NFL, and let's rev it. And I'm looking for a tough matchup, Brandon. I definitely am.
I definitely think this is going to be a tough one for us. It's going to be a good test. The Chiefs are kind of a strange team, and they've got a lot of questions of their own. So this will be a nice, solid team to go against. But the big question mark really is their quarterback, Tony Romo. I mean, he's a guy who's not very consistent. He's a guy that you don't know what kind of game he's going to have. And Flacco, I think, has been pretty consistent this year. He likes what he's doing. Again, that new shotgun formation he's comfortable in. So I think with this game, I got to give the edge to Flacco as far as quarterbacks go.
I would give the slight edge to Flacco. Tony Romo, I can honestly tell you with covering him closely, because he's on one of my fantasy football teams, he's hit or miss. I'm telling you what. I mean, at the opening game of the season against the New York Giants, he lit it up with a 3-touchdown performance, and you thought, here he goes again, and then, he flops. And the Cowboys have been playing anemic as of lately, and I've been on their website looking at some of the media chatter, and they're not too confident, honestly. I mean, they got the weapons on offense, some question marks on defense, and I think this might be a shootout. I don't think it's going to be any low-scoring affair, given that the way we can stop the run and pass. They got two stud running backs, DeMarco Murray, and I think they have Felix Jones back there. I'm not going to be too high on stopping the run. I think they're both probably going to push 100 yards with the 1-2 punch there. It's going to be a tough pick in there, and they got a balanced receiving core across the board. Miles Austin, Dez Bryant, they got the tight end and Jason Witten. I think overall it's just going to be a tough task for the Ravens. If we can come out with this one, I mean, the world's going to be watching. It's the Cowboys. It's on Fox, 1 o'clock. There's a lot of Cowboy fans spread across the country. They're going to be putting their eye on this one. I know a lot of local Cowboy fans, including my cousin. My family, it's kind of funny how we're diversified in our football teams here. With the Sunday, I'm trash-talking my cousin because he's a diehard Cowboys fan. Don't ask me how that is. My grandparents grew up on the Redskins. Now my uncle kind of teeters, which I don't know what that's about. And of course, me and my father and our family, Guy, are Ravens fans. And, it's going to be fun this weekend to, interact with the fans. I know a lot of Cowboy fans spread across the nation. So they will be watching this one. It's going to be good to spank the Cowgirls on Fox. It's coming at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I got to give the edge to the Ravens. You know, I would be lying if I said that this wasn't true, but back in the day when I was a little kid, you know, everybody had to have that Dallas Cowboys starter jacket, and I was one of those guys that had one of those pullover windbreaker Cowboys starter jackets, and so I kind of always have like a soft spot for the Cowboys, but I've never really been a huge fan of them. But this game, though, I got to give the edge to the Ravens. The Ravens, they've got a nice cohesive unit out there, as long as Flacco can talk to everybody, doesn't always throw it to Pitta, you know, uses all the tools that he has. I think that's like a winning combo. The defense does have to, you know, get me worried a little bit. Kerry Williams, again, I always think of him as a liability. And plus, if this injury to Nada is the real deal, and he's kind of limited in his play, that's going to have me worried too, especially with Suggs not being there. Yeah, we do have other tools, of course, like Ray Lewis to go after the quarterback and Kruger to go after the quarterback. But Haloti's a big guy, and he's a big part of that line, and he kind of shuts down the quarterback and if somebody tries to run. So I really think there's a big question mark on the Ravens' defense right now for this game.
I think the big question mark is on defense. I mean, on all phases. I mean, obviously the offense has their concerns with pass blocking, and we need to play better. But my concern is on the defense. Can the pass defense cut the crap out and get his act together? Can we stop the run? We let too many yards rushing, too many yards passing. I mean, you know, for the sake of the talk here, we're in the bottom half of the league in defense, which isn't really concerned. Hey, Ray Lewis and company will tell you and echo everybody that's talked about this on this team, it's about football games. Stats are for losers. I don't care if you let up 700 yards in offense, but if we win the game, who cares? This isn't fantasy football. This isn't Madden. We're not going for powder puff cream stat. I don't care. You know, we're not going for the stats right now. And that's why I get excited, because, look, if our points end up more points than them at the end of the fourth quarter, I'm a happy fan. I don't care. It'll be 5-1 because wins get you into the playoffs. Wins get you the Super Bowl. Not stats. I mean, we've already proved that. Actually, you know, we can talk ageless times about that, about how, you know, such stats end up proving in a playoff game and they didn't win it. So we all know that's true. So, you know, let's just, you know, bygones be bygones and echo what you just said. My focus is going to be on the defense. And let's see what happens come Sunday. If they can stop Romo, and they need to get pressure on this guy. He is in a total different quarterback, just like anybody else, when he's rushed out of the pocket.
Absolutely, that's it's going to be shutting him down, and it all depends on what kind of game he's playing as well. You know, they are traveling to Baltimore. Baltimore is a tough town to play in. Ask anybody on the Steelers, ask anybody on the Patriots, just ask anybody that comes and plays here. It doesn't matter if it's baseball, football, or whatever. Baltimore is a tough town because we love our hometown team so much. So we're definitely going to be a factor in that game. So the Cowboys are definitely going to have to get over the fact that they're traveling, they're in Baltimore, and that Romo is going to have to show up if he wants to beat this team. So what are you thinking points wise? What do you think the end of this game is going to look like?
The end of this game is probably going to look like I'm going to go on a limb and say a 31-21 Ravens.
Okay.
I'm going to pick Ravens, of course. I'll be realistic. You might get surprised, and I might not pick them one game. You know, I can't. You know, I'm going to pick the Ravens all 16 games. They're going to lose a couple more, but it's a home game. Honestly, they're going to actually win this game. I think 21-31 is a safe score. It's going to be a high scoring shootout. Both defenses going giving up a lot of yards and points. And I think we roll. I think we're going to allow some points, but we're going to score more points at the end of the day.
That's what I like to hear. That's what I think, too. I think the Ravens are going to come out on top. It's going to be tight. And, you know, I'm thinking maybe 31, maybe I kind of agree with you. Maybe 31-21, maybe 31-24, something around there. I see it high scoring. Hopefully it'll be high scoring and not be something like 9-6 like it was last time, because I just want to see some more action as a fan. So that'll be very fun to see. But, hey, man, the Orioles are getting on TV now. I want to check these guys out. So are we good to wrap up another show?
Well, I got a couple more things to touch, man. Why are you such in a rush?
Oh, God. Well, I want to see this game, but okay, let's talk. Let's talk.
I can give you a play-by-play. It's a commercial right now. There's a Sonic commercial on.
I love Sonic, man. Why do you have Sonic?
There you go. Hey, but I was going to get to this, Brandon. Did somebody steal the game balls? Because we forgot to give them out.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'm actually going to give mine out. It's a special teamers and all offensive, and it's going to be three game balls actually in all three phases. Special teams, obviously Justin Tucker gets a game ball because without his foot, we don't win. Yeah. So he got the 9 points to win the game, outscored their kicker, which they got six. So it all added up to a 9-6 win. Congratulations on Justin Tucker winning it for us. Next big game ball goes to Ray Rice, 102 yards rushing. Focal point of the offense once again, and I think he gets the game ball. A tough running out there, a tough sledding against a good Chiefs defense. Got 100 yards, he gets a game ball from me. And last game ball, we'll go to the defensive collectively for making the adjustments, and especially to our defensive coordinator, Dean Pease, for making the adjustments in the second half, stopping Jamaal Charles. And I know he was a factor in the playoff game 2 years ago, and he was a factor again on Sunday. And kudos to the defense, especially for getting the stops they needed to, for getting the turnovers, and for applying the pressure. So congratulations all around. And I kind of want to make a side note. I know I texted about you this, but I forgot to tell you. But obviously I had a great birthday last weekend. But on my birthday, I had a great treat. Turn on NFL Network, and guess what I see? Sound effects Ray Lewis, sound effects Joe Flacco. What a treat in that hour. And let me tell you, fans, of course, we've heard Ray Lewis sound effects time and time again. It never gets old, but I've never even would have thought about they would have done a Joe Flacco piece. And let me tell you what, oh my God, it was classic. Classic Joe Flacco.
That dude's got a lot of personality, I got to say. But, you know, you're talking about giving out game balls. You got to watch out, because it seems like Joe Flacco has a habit of stealing game balls, apparently.
Did you end up watching it, I see?
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah, he's got a fetish for them game balls, doesn't he? He's like, he told the ball boy to put it in his locker and steal it. He wanted the Thanksgiving ball. He wanted the pink ribbon ball. I guarantee he's probably got a whole case full of balls in his house. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I want to see this room that he's got. I think it's like every single game he's taking one of these special game balls.
Hey, it's great, man. He's got to have fun out there. And he was giving the refs a hard time. Even, I think, right as soon as they started, he said, I don't know why they're miking me. I didn't say crap the last time. So, I mean, Joe Flacco, I mean, you think he's so cool in interviews. Oh, you don't say much. You don't get fired. He gets fired up in that field. He's yelling at players. He's on the sideline joking. He's talking. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we don't get to see, you know, during the games or during a game on TV. And I'm kind of glad the NFL Network brought that to home for us. And if any Raven fan hasn't caught it, try to find it online, YouTube. NFL.com probably has it. If not, Ravens.com probably has it. It was a classic half hour of Joe Flacco sound effects, and it was a treat to watch. And that was a good birthday present for me, all in all, to sit there and be amused at Flacco's antics. And I was getting pumped up for Sunday. So, you know, let's see if both birds can, you know, fly high this weekend and keep the train rolling with both birds. And, now go Ravens on Sunday. Let's whip off some cowgirls. Let's go.
One other thing I want to bring up about Joe Flacco real quick is, you know, he was talking about he had a beard on some of it for the playoffs. He had the Fu Manchu last year. After watching that sound effects and him kind of cracking himself up at the fact that he had a Fu Manchu and everything, I got to wonder what he's going to do this year. Hairstyle-wise or facial hair-wise, because, like, he did the situation 2 years ago, and he had, like, the crazy haircut in the back, and he did the Fu Manchu last year. This guy just seems like he likes to crack himself up by the way he looks, so I'm going to be very interested to see what happens after this Halloween.
I think so, too, and it was kind of funny, because speaking of Thursday, I know tonight's, you know, the Jersey Shore episode, and I'm a fan of that show, too, and it was like the interview even said that one of the media guys was like, you've had a Jersey Shore haircut, you've had the Fu Manchu. It's like, you're right, what tricks will he pull out? What's he going to wear a wig on the sidelines? Is he going to, you know, do something to his uniform? Who knows? And this is why honestly, I almost want to just go off for 5 minutes and say, this is why I'm tickled to death that Joe Flacco is a part of this organization. I'm tickled to death that he's our franchise quarterback. I can't wait to see him play his whole career here, retire as a Raven, and who knows, if he creates a Hall of Fame career, hey, if he keeps winning football games, who knows, sky's the limit. And it was great, man. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm tickled to death, man. Go Ravens, fly high. Let's go, man.
I love to hear that. Now, if you want to follow along during the game with me or Josh, you can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. And Josh, what's your Twitter handle so people can follow along with you while you watch the game?
Nothing short of a Fu Manchu, but you can follow me at Italian GQ52.
All right, sounds good, man. And, of course, if you like this show or any of the other shows on the @BrandoCash Network, make sure you go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. If you like the call, make sure you click subscribe on iTunes. Make sure you leave a review. The reviews help us. You can say good stuff, bad stuff. I don't care. Just write a review. And iTunes kind of looks at us a little bit more, and it helps us get in those rankings and kind of get recognized a little bit more. And here's the biggest way you can help us, besides writing an iTunes review, which is also very big. Tell other people about the show, okay? If you like this show, go onto your Facebook, go onto your Twitter, your Tumblr, Pinterest. I don't care what you're a part of. Anything social, just say, hey, check out this podcast. I dig these guys talking about the Ravens. Go, this part of Purple Friday, this, that, whatever. Do any of that to help us out and kind of get a little bit more popular, because the only way the show's going to keep growing is with your help out there if you're listening to us. So if you are listening to us, thank you very much for listening. And with your help, we'll keep growing bigger and bigger. And that's what we want to do, because we love talking Baltimore Ravens football.
Thank you, Brandon. Thank you for that. Can't wait. Let's go Ravens. Fly high. See you guys.
This has been a production of the @BrandoCash Network.